Welcome, welcome to Freaked Out with your hosts, Liz and Landon. Nice to see you again, Landon.
Nice to see you too.
We were actually supposed to record this episode yesterday, but unfortunately we had some technical difficulties, which we're still running into just a little bit today. But I did want to give a shout out to Landon. It was his 31st birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, honey.
Thank you very much.
Well, today it looks like we're going to be getting right into it with one of our cases. So what I have set up is an email address, which is, by the way, freakedoutlizandlandon@gmail.com. That email address, you can actually send cases to me and Landon, and we'll pick through the ones that we feel to be pretty crazy and want to put on the show. So today we have taken one case from a viewer by the name of Sage Rosella. She brought us the case of Brandy Hall.
So Brandy was a 32-year-old firefighter and also a mother of two. She went missing in August of 2006 on the 17th.
Oh, wow.
She was last seen leaving Malabar Fire Station. She lived right outside Malabar, Florida. Brandy was born September 14th, 1973. When she had turned 20, she began her career as a volunteer firefighter. During that time, she had met her future husband, Jeffrey Ray Hall, who also was a firefighter at the time. They had gotten married in 1994, and they had one son and one daughter. She also had worked as a medical tech for Palm Bay Fire Department.
So she had a pretty interesting life.
Seems like it. Seems like she had a pretty busy life.
Very much so.
Her husband then got promoted to fire chief, as she was also promoted at the same time to engine driver and received her paramedic certificate. So even more.
Wow. She wanted to help the community consistently.
Seems like it. On July 2nd, 2005, her husband was arrested along with a friend and a former firefighter who were both charged with trafficking marijuana and intent to sell and manufacturing a hallucinogen.
If that was like, you know, now, it wouldn't be such a big deal, right?
Well, in this current day, yeah.
Of course, 2006, well, maybe the hallucinogen. Marijuana was pretty heavily considered a big no-no. Things have changed drastically.
For sure. On July 8th, 2005, Brandy was arrested on charges related to her husband's marijuana charges.
Oh, geez.
She stated to the police she was unaware of her husband's activities amongst their property, which they had a pretty big property, 13 acres.
Oh my goodness. So he could technically have done things without her really knowing.
Of course, that's a lot of property. In December of 2005, Brandy was fired from Palm Bay Fire Department. While she was actively looking for another job, she began volunteering with Malabar Fire Department.
I mean, you gotta do what you gotta do.
So now we're gonna fast forward. On the evening of August 17th, 2006, Brandy was scheduled for a full night shift, and she had called her husband around 9:30 p.m. to speak with her children and him over the phone. At around 10:45 p.m., Brandy told her colleagues that she needed to leave work early, and then she left the station immediately in her green Chevy pickup truck. At 11:06 p.m., Brandy was on the phone with Randall Richman, and that phone call lasted about 10 minutes, and he is the captain at Palm Bay Fire Department. Brandy never returned home that night, and she hasn't been seen or heard from since that night.
Jeez.
On the morning of August 18th, 2006, her husband, who was in the
process of attending a sentencing hearing, I believe?
He was about to attend his sentencing hearing, and he found Brandy was missing as she failed to answer any and all of his phone calls.
Well, yeah, I mean, that would be pretty scary, consider she worked an overnight shift.
Absolutely. Later that day, her truck was found submerged in a small pond off of Tree Land Boulevard near a college campus.
Wow. Well, was there anything in relation to the investigation that took place after the fact?
Well, I see here investigators had found blood present in different parts of her vehicle. Also, they found a bunker bag that contained her firefighter equipment, her pants, jacket, and then the helmet was floating in the pond nearby where fishermen had found it.
Which is consistent with her leaving work.
Right. And then now on August 19th, 2006, searchers, with the help of a cadaver dog and a dive team and volunteers, began searching the pond, and they couldn't find anything to the point where they eventually had to drain the entire pond.
And they still found nothing?
And still nothing was found. No signs of Brandy.
Wow. So she just completely vanished.
Completely.
Any updates on the case since?
Well, following her disappearance, Randall Richmond, who last spoke with Brandy on the phone, had initially lied to investigators. He told them that he had not spoken to her for weeks. However, it was discovered later that they were having an affair.
Ah, yeah, definitely shady there. That's a big, big, big no-no.
2 days after he initially made this statement, the married fire captain resubmitted his claim indicating that he had an affair with her, but he denied his involvement in her disappearance.
How convenient. All of a sudden, the truth comes out because he knows he's going to get caught.
Of course. During the phone call that night, Brandy reportedly told him that she was leaving town.
Ah, conveniently, the only person she decided to let know.
Yes, and not her husband or anything with her kids. And how funny he turns his story around right away. Oh, I did talk to her that night.
Right, exactly. Huh. Was there anything more recent that took place?
So then we fast forward to June 24th, 2007. Brandy's backpack containing some of her belongings were discovered by a fisherman.
Okay.
And then we fast forward about a month later in July, or a year later, July of 2008, her yellow helmet had drifted ashore at the Indian Harbor Beach area.
Interesting. Okay.
So then we're going to fast forward in more recent events, September 2021, the pond where Brandy's vehicle was found fully drained again in hopes of uncovering some new evidence, but nothing came of this either.
Ugh, you know what? They keep looking at that pond. I get why, but I definitely don't feel like there's any indication of Brandy in that particular area.
What do you feel happened leading up to her disappearance?
Ooh, well, honestly, I'm picking up a lot on this situation. So, I mean, obviously, it doesn't take a genius to figure out her and her husband were having some major issues. I also feel like she blamed him for everything that was going wrong in her life, especially with the law. She seemed to be a very big law-abiding citizen and enjoyed the fact that people really liked her and liked her reputation. So his little connection to the law and having the marijuana possessions put a big, like, I don't know, scarlet letter on her.
Like a big black cloud above her.
Pretty much. And everyone was judging her, and all the people she knew previously kind of looked at her differently. So that really affected her a lot.
And she ended up ultimately losing part of her career because of it when she got fired.
I agree with that. I do feel, though, that she wasn't completely honest with the police officers. I do feel like she knew something was going on. I think that she didn't necessarily feel like marijuana was a bad thing, or to the degree that other people felt it to be bad. So I feel like she kind of went along with it with her husband, but didn't necessarily have any involvement directly.
I would say she was probably more upset, which anybody would be, more about the hallucinogens than more of the marijuana charges.
I would agree with that as well, especially since he seemed to be trying to sell it off, and that could potentially get in kids' hands.
And they were making it, so you never know, you could potentially kill people.
I don't feel like there was a lot of media back then, but it was definitely around town that she wasn't being enjoyed anymore. At least that's what she was feeling. So I think that she kind of decided, when everything started to go down with her husband, that she needed more in life. Enter in Randall. I feel like Randall and her became closer and closer, and the two of them would talk about their problems. I feel like he also had a lot of marital issues as well, and the two of them would bitch to each other about that. I do feel like it eventually became sexual, but I don't feel like a romantic relationship had quite developed for a while. Eventually, it got to that point, but I think Brandy just needed him to make her feel alive again.
What happened the night of her disappearance?
Well, the night of her disappearance, I feel like the day leading up to it, she and Randall had very different views on what they wanted to happen in this case. She was worried and upset about her husband going to jail. Not only would this continue to drag on, but also him being away from her kids. With him, I feel like he was actually really excited about it because then he can kind of come to her home and they can have that romantic one-on-one. She was not having that. I think she kind of put it out there like, no, I already have enough people looking at me. I don't need you to come into my home and see my children. So I feel like Brandy was kind of letting him know in a bigger way, hell no, not interested in having any sort of affair. The sex was good and I enjoyed other things about the relationship, but I'm not really looking for a full invested affair. And I feel like he really didn't agree with her. So I'd say the two of them were struggling and having arguments for a couple of weeks, but it got pretty heated in this particular day. So much so that he continuously kept pressuring her to stop working and come and see him before her husband ended up going off. Because she was technically working, you know, he kept pushing her to leave work, and then she finally decided, okay, shut up, I'm coming. I feel like he pressured her like, I'm coming to your work if you don't leave. So she didn't want that to happen.
So she must have been really scared at this point and just wanted to get this resolved, it seems like.
Pretty much. So I feel like she ended up leaving and going off to meet him. I feel like they talked on the phone up until the point of meeting, and then that's when they disconnected.
So that was where the 10-minute phone call.
Pretty much. As soon as she got in her car, she met him at their little area. I feel like there was like a little parking lot the two of them would meet to kind of hang out. That would be where they would go before and after work when they wanted to like fool around or have sex or just enjoy each other's company for that matter.
So what do you see happening on that night?
This is where it gets kind of shady. So from what I see, he felt as though having her in person, he would be able to control the situation and kind of let her know, no, I'm not letting you go and this is the end of that shit. Well, unfortunately, she wasn't also in that mood and she was also sticking by her word and he was not liking it. I feel like they got in a bit of a tuffle. I feel like he kept grabbing her arms and grabbing her and she kept pulling away. And I feel like they were hitting each other a little bit too. I think it got to a heat of like a passionate moment. I think she turned around to get into her purse to grab her keys or something. And then I think he hit her over the head with a rock. I see a rock pretty significantly. And I feel like he hit her a few times. Like he did this in the heat of the moment.
Wow, that's terrible.
Right?
Where did he take her body?
That part is a little bit wishy for me. Now, Landon, I believe that the Florida area that I'm seeing, there was like a divot. So he could not, where he put her body, you can't see it if you just kind of look yonder. I feel like there was like a sunken area where he put the body, and I feel like there was a lot of grass and it was soggy and wet. I do still feel like there's remains of her clothing around, but I don't necessarily feel like her body is there. I also feel like he knew exactly where he should go. I think that he knew that there were like alligators in the area. And I think he just wanted to get rid of the body quickly so that nothing kind of came back on him.
So maybe not necessarily a pond because, you know, alligators don't necessarily hang out by ponds, but more like a swamp, like a lake type area, swamp, which Florida is covered in water everywhere.
The reason I think swamp for sure. I think I was thinking more pond because it's like water grass, but you're right.
Well, they keep looking in the pond. Yeah. Which... You know, you see water as well, but maybe not exactly where they're looking.
No, I think you're right. I think a swampy area makes a lot more sense. And I feel like he knew, like, I think this is new, not new for him. Like, he's done this kind of thing before, not killing people, but know how to get rid of things when needed. And I feel like he has a few friends in high places as well that also kind of let the investigation slide a little bit, if you know what I mean.
Wow. Is there anything you would like to add that you may feel with this case?
There are so many different things to add, but from what I'm feeling on this situation is that I think the good news is that there will be some parts of her clothing that do come forward. I also feel like Randall's family have a few details that would be super helpful to the case. I think his partner at the time, because he's no longer with them anymore, I feel like they also have some details, but I think he threatened them. Sadly, also can kind of controlled as well. So she knows how to keep quiet, unlike Brandy, which is why Brandy got into the situation she did with him, unfortunately, at least in his mind, that's how he thinks of it. And I also feel like the few colleagues that he has connected to him also know a couple of details, not necessarily in relation to what he did to her, but being shady, acting weird, having some strange conversations. And I feel like people are just ignoring it to not have to deal with it.
Absolutely. Nobody wants to deal with stuff like that, especially when it comes to like a murder or disappearance. Is there anything in relation to the future of this case that you see?
Well, I'm hoping that this podcast will get this case a little bit more attention and will make some sort of headlines. And I'm hoping that some light is shed on this case, but I feel like it's potentially possible. I do also feel like the cops and the police and investigators are kind of working on things right now as well to see if there's anything else that they have yet to pick up on her case. I feel like her body is was about an hour away from where her car initially was. And I feel like that's where they need to start looking.
Absolutely. All right, guys. So that's what we got on this case. So we are going to move to the frequently asked questions section.
Yes, we're going to ask me some questions about what today?
So the first question, when it comes to speaking to spirits, are language barrier an issue?
Oh, so like
language barriers.
So if I'm speaking to like a spirit that may speak Spanish or only can speak Spanish? Is that what we're asking?
Yes, Spanish or any other language.
Well, from my experience, spirits don't always talk. They show me images, they show me visions, they show me little reels of movies. So I'm the kind of the detective that has to kind of put it all together. So if there is some sort of language barrier, I'm actually able to not even... it's not even an issue in any way. So I've never had any issues. And I find it's actually kind of interesting. I am Portuguese. A lot of Spanish people enjoy coming to me because I'm Portuguese, because there are the similarities as well.
What is the hardest part of your job?
Oh boy. There are quite a few different things that are pretty hard, but what I find the hardest is dealing with the emotional baggage that people bring. So when people come to readings, they carry heavy, heavy loads on them. And they kind of drop the load of their emotions onto me, and it can be very intense. I take it in, but it is definitely difficult to hold. And the emotions that people have been carrying over the last 2 years have even been more difficult.
Tell us a crazy experience you've had.
So when it comes to spirits, let me think of a story that I can have here. Okay. So I have a spirit that has been with me for years, and I have no idea who they are. It is just a man. I feel like he lived with his mom for a very, very long time. I feel like he was alone constantly, and I feel like mom also kind of brought him up to be a mama's boy, no other women involved, and then I feel like she died. I also feel like she molested him and hurt him and sexualized him and did a lot of crazy things. I feel like he ended up killing himself in some direction or some manner. I feel like he died at about 40 years old. Mom died about 80 years old. But he's constantly looking for her. And he keeps coming to me every once in a blue moon. And it happens like once a year. It used to happen more frequently, but now it's like once a year. And he'll say things in my ear like, I want to have sex with my mom. And I don't even know why he does it, but he does.
That's creepy.
Right? And I have no idea who he is or anything along those lines. I wish he'd go away. He doesn't bother me as much as he used to, but he bugs me a little bit.
Wow, that is crazy. I don't even know how you deal with that.
You know what? It comes with the territory, I guess. Well, guys, I think that's it for today. I do appreciate you guys coming in and listening to our podcast, episode 1. We will be doing another episode next Thursday. We will not be having the technical difficulties we ran into this week, so everything will be back on schedule. I will probably be picking another case from my pile, a mile-long list of readings and cases to go through. And I'll also be doing a few things in relation to cases I've used to do as well on TikTok. So keep watching, keep following, keep listening to our podcast. So much more is coming, guys.
So much more. And it will get way better.
Take care and have a wonderful weekend.
Thanks for listening.